We're on the move. Not very fast. Or very far. There's a lot of traffic right here. But in theory, anyway, I guess we're rolling.
Squeezing him tight, unaware of what's growing in his guts. 2 feet tall, he can run and fall in his diaper. Hitting himself in the head with his father's lighter. Watching in disgust, it cries, he tries to ignore it. With nature and his tendons, the man would ruin his courtship. Girl as a kid, the girl won't abort it. The empty vessel, the door, and you filled it with pure shit. Mostly from resentment, or perhaps he was neglected. Mouths of feet were in his arms, and they were black and infected when they spoke. They told him leave the girl and kid for dead. So we picked him up with one hand, held him off and said that you were not supposed to be a signer.
Seems to want to.
Yeah, I know only one to get the job done. I don't know a nigga that could cover for me. Yeah, got some game from my days. So she might say she love me, she don't love me like she say she love me. Believe me, I'm that nigga boy that love me in the street. I'm not trying to.
You are not in the bike lane, dude.
I know what they're gonna see because they are. Believe me. Yeah. Real. It's being me and Young Tune off the rip. That's the man that put me in the shit. If a nigga fuck with him, I put him down quick. Got a verse for anybody who won't talk about the click. I've been taking shit like you don't want it. can't blame me for wondering. Doesn't matter, could be winter or the summer. On the road, I do One Direction numbers, I don't fucking miss. Yeah, Stunner and Magno. When Wayne was gone for 8 months, we put this thing up on our back, and I was stepping off on every single track, though. Collect call from the boss, like, where we at, though? I was like, huh, it's our time, nigga. He left Rikers in the Phantom, that's my nigga. And I be rocking with the Tina Carter 9, and we YNC&B waiting on somebody to try us, nigga. Yeah. I'm the only one to get the job done. I don't know a nigga that could cover for me. Yeah, got some game from my days. So she might say she love me, she don't love me like she said she love me. Believe me, believe me. I'm that nigga boy that love me in the street. I'm not trying to find nobody else to be. I'm the one they come to see because they are. Believe me.
Lord knows I'm hurt one day now. You stay and act like we find some oil, nigga, out of duct tape. So when he praying, I ignore the nigga. All I gotta say is I ignore a nigga. Drop dead gorgeous, but the bitch ain't dying for a nigga. Where the real queens at? Shout out Capone and Noriega. We can shoot it out and see who lived to tell the story. Little diamonds in my rolling face. Can I be exfoliated? They think I'm associated. I'm the one that orchestrated. Yeah, yo, get a ass whip. Whip that ass like horses racing. Ain't about what you walk away from. It's about what you walk away with. Dead presidents, them coffins vacant. I'ma be doing something.
I'm the only one to get the job done. I don't know a nigga that could cover for me. Yeah, got some game from my days. So she might say she love me, she don't love me like she said she love me. Believe me, believe me. I'm that nigga boy that love me in the street. I'm not trying to find nobody else to be. I'm the one they come to see because they are. Believe me.
Rip, rip, rip. Get it poppin' off the rip. Rich young nigga that ain't never had a trick. Slipped up flow, but you know I like them thick. If she get a job at DOA, I drop her off a tip. I had to get it poppin' off the rip. I'm the one they tell you been rappin' in the six. Coming to the city and your niggas get the trippin'. Wear a ticket at a Scarborough Bluff and drop you off a cliff. Well, damn, just be happy for the man. Nerve on a Coldplay, nigga got bands. Ink from the money, got it all over my ass. Going out to you, suspending all of my advance. Be live, just tell me for a check. Drake, you know I love you, you just tell me out of debt. Yes, right now, you are looking at the best. Motherfucker, war shows and motherfucker, press like that.
Why the fuck the rest? When they jumped off the porch, I was stumbling up the steps. I give what I collect before I give up my connect. It be a cold day in hell. Icicles made of sweat. One thing, sliding across my neck. Niggas know what that mean, like they deaf. Nigga, I fight this Nina like this. Our first day on the job and the bitch overslept. Tune stay humble. Nigga, I'm a king. Need a horn and a drum roll. They throw motherfucking roses at my feet, nigga. I don't step on one road, yeah. I'm the only one to get the job done. I don't know a nigga that could cover for me. Tape a couple kilos to the bitch stomach. She look like she got a butt and the oven for me.
Pretty tired. Long week.
Guess who?
TikTok, get up.
That's right, get in the electric wires.
Uh-huh, okay.
Hold this. Bread.
Nothing wrong with raisins. Raisins are fine.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. It'll be for the five, for the four, for the five.
English. Muffin' and puffin', selling his soul. J-E-L-L-O. You know, roll with the squad, makes backflips, stacks, hits upon disc to play at your own risk. Tis, tis, tis. Shitty youth lists, snacks in the field of the abyss. Insist that your motors are scramble. Enter the beats and enter the sample. Ample flow is created by the years and the fears of cruising booze. Perched on the front stool, tripping for the face loop. So the truth flow out and the toll of pace and ain't done. And here it comes. I said, here it comes.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes.
I like grapes and I like raisins.
Home alone with the PSP, mom making grilled cheese, but your cousin took it. dude I never even knew. All because of the club banger. Bring a banger to the club, find a bitch banger. In the bathroom at the club, don't be no bama. When you banging in the club, don't be a bama bitch. When you banging in the club. Yo, fuck the police, bitch. Coming straight out of Philly. Ha ha. She reminds me of back in the day and shit.
Trying to be a white rapper now. Shoot, man, you still owe me money from MTV Spring Break 1990, bitch. Hey, yo, Stretch. Let's cook it. To know the flip flops or socks. Man, it's an epidemic. Way up to them Nazis invented it. Methamphetamine or Adderall, got the ladies lean. Couple of bumps in your upper days. Snip that crack, burn off your face. Some call it crystal meth. Whatever it is, you got pimples of death. Ice, ice, baby.
me jump.
I was a dark, dumb student. No hokey pokey day tripping on visions of chickens that look like R. Crumb drew them. They grew them in the royal dirt.
Conditions from the northern plains to the Gulf Coast. The rain will also be scattered showers from Michigan into the northeast and the New England area. We have a stalled stationary front for South Florida. You're going to see some scattered rainfall throughout the weekend, but the biggest rainmaker is into the west coast. Upper level low will keep Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and parts of California wet, 1 to 2 inches of rain. That includes Oregon and Washington State. So highs for your Saturday will be coolest into the Great Lakes, barely to the 50 degree mark. The northeast will see mid 50s. As far south as Tennessee, you'll barely get into the 60 degree mark. Cooler temperatures to the Gulf Coast in the upper 70s and through the central plains, more average temperatures into the mid 70s. Through the Intermountain West, we'll see a lot of mid to low 70s for your Saturday. 80 degree mark, 62.
The earth will just be plus. I'm going somewhere to get some.
Gladwell, why do you think he will meet with disaster?
Well, because...
When asked why they thought their symptoms would disappear without any treatment, they can't give a reasonable answer.
San Francisco, that's going to be a little bit of a squeeze from the Central Freeway out to the lower deck. But
a little bit of a squeeze.
Cloverleaf of traffic right beyond this this on-ramp onto, we'll be able to hopefully actually look into a freeway heading. So let's do that right.
And that was my 2009 interview with evolutionary biologist and author Richard Dawkins.
I mean, I just saw him with Chafee. He's eating lunch by himself. Like,
oh, that is rough.
Right, right.
Rough. I wish he had said that.
He really
is. Is it true that there are always three Black Lives Matter protesters following Martin O'Malley along?
I have no idea.
They on the other side of hate and evil. And that St. Paul's Chapel became the...
Loved, by the way. But it had a kind of tour feel. It had, you know, you...
Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping.
Drawbridges and marble gargoyles. Literally, there's not going to be any of that. What say the emote? I need his choices, like how noble...
Institutional racism from top to bottom. And we need major, major reforms in a broken criminal justice system. Which we have
more. His campaign claiming live stream victory. So far, they've had over 400,000 views, and it's growing by the minute. I'm Girlie Sh.
Apparently, the government's never seen two fat folks play twister. You know what I mean? Evidently, something is too big to fail. Larry, by the way, what's the website again? Go to youcan'tbezero.com. A million people going to get meals.
That's right.
Families in need. This year, part of the NFL Priorless Act.
The home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days.
For Laird Robinson and many other investors, Milby's appearance on the MTV show My Super Sweet 16 is unbearable.
I did not see it. I intentionally did not see it. I didn't want to see it. That's my money.
It's not just investors who take interest in the show.
Well, it was just so outrageous that he would do that. It's the kind of human story that gets investigators and the police and everyone charged up to do something about it.
The show may be the final nail in Mid-America's coffin. But the scam Milby and his attorney Brian Kaufman have been running won't die that easily. The money is just too good.
They knew that that company was pretty much done. It run its course. So as these con artists typically do, they left that company behind and moved on to a new one and created Global Energy Group.
Victor Satskin is a victim who lost hundreds of thousands of dollars to Mid-America. But rather than...
on the subject, so it is definitely reaching a pinnacle right now.
Protein powder will help you have the same as 10 workouts in a day. It's just not going to happen. You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. So.
And to each of
then I find out that he was still carrying on. You know, he's been divorced. He had four. Let me just give you some background. He had four kids, four different women. That should have been my first red flag. You know? He's been divorced.
For complete information on this channel, including its lineup and highlights, visit SiriusXM.com. We look forward to have...
You pay to go to media.
Yeah, not a few times.
Like, do you go crystal ball?
No.
Audio. Since I was in, like, 9 or 10 grade.
Really?
Kind of DJing. I actually got my start DJing.
You did.
I got my first set of turntables back in the 80s, and I was like a hip-hop kid.
So how do you transition? Like, so that's when it's like vinyl. Like, you're actually, you have turntables, and you're going record.
Yeah. Scratching it up.
Were you one of the few, where'd you grow up?
Kind of all over the country, but adolescence was in Orlando.
Orlando?
Yeah.
What was the DJ scene like in Orlando? And were there a lot of white kids doing it at the time? It was very, you know, that was a black kid thing to do back then.
Funny thing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about, fifth, sixth grade, seventh, eighth grade getting started. Fifth and sixth grade really starting to get wild with it.
Yeah.
But, no, there wasn't a huge scene.
No.
But, there was actually, I lived on that, like, right adjacent to a small town called Eatonville, which was, it has a sign when you go into it, it says the first black settlement in America.
That's what it says?
Yes.
What's a black settlement? Well, is that where black people come to live?
It's the South.
Yes. I don't know. They're just bragging that they have black people that can live freely.
No. It's a black city.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. He's taught me about art. Like, I've been investing in art. He's taught me about that stuff. And he's just he's one of the most unique and true to themselves kind of person. And that didn't come out very well. But, yeah.
No, I get it. And what great advice he gave you.
Revelations with Bevy Smith.
Mr. Josie. So one of the things I noticed about the book is one part memoir, and then it's also a style.
How about dressing up? I paused it because I know they're probably laughing.
Me that way.
No, you never get. Oh, he's so adorable.
No, Jay Moore had that when he started. Anthony, I don't remember Anthony Clark, but when Anthony Clark started,
he was like really good looking.
Girls just would shriek and giggle.
And I always went through the thing, only ugly guys could be funny.
That's right, that's what you want. So when a good looking guy is funny and Jimmy is funny,
right,
you go, fuck him.
Yeah, even like when Eddie Murphy started to want to be good looking and he started to be like, have Clark Gable, and dress up in clothes, you're like, fuck it, man. Don't try to be good looking.
No, it's one or the other.
Right.
It's one or the other. And whenever somebody good looking is funny, the kind of popular high school gang people are so excited that somebody like them cracked the code.
And I'm so angry with those high school kids, the ones who are so popular. Like, I'm glad they peaked in high school, and I don't want to see them get ahead.
Yeah, you either get one or the other. You can't have both.
Yeah.
You know, because they're the same. They resent us.
Right.
They think we're mean because we're smart and we're funny, and we won't let them in on it.
And now we're the bullies. They don't realize we were getting bullied our whole lives.
That's right, but we're the bullies.
Yeah, right. I've always laughed when people go, you're such a bully. I go, bully? It's about fucking time I got to bully somebody. I've got picked on my whole goddamn life.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
It's an earned bullydom.
I love that story so much. I could just picture that. And Jimmy,
it's funny because I was going on the show and I didn't really have much to talk about. And they're like, they said, we're doing two segments. They're 7 minutes long. And I was like, fuck. I don't have any jokes. What, 14 minutes of fucking television?
Yeah, what am I going to talk about?
And I'm talking to the guy and I just started thinking about Jimmy. I'm like, do I have anything this? And then I remember this story all at once. Jesus Christ, I cost this kid a job. And I can tell him to his face right now.
And was he upset? I think he was upset.
No. He's smart. Jimmy's
he's
a genius at what he's doing.
He really is.
And the producer told me that he started to tell Jimmy the story and he got really quickly defensive. He was like, what? But Jimmy was smart and said, We gotta do it.
Yeah.
And he said, stop telling me about it and we gotta
We wanna do it live and make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he was mad, but I think it was a weird thing for him to hear probably.
Do you think that goes on with female comedians? Do you think the good looking female comedians get resentment from like the uglier female comedians?
I think that probably
right.
I mean, I guess I gotta believe that everybody's as weak as I am because that's how I feel.
Because
I still feel that way.
I love Whitney Cummings and I think she's really funny. And when she got her NBC sitcom, every other comic turned on her, and I felt so bad for her. I said, that's because you're good looking.
Yeah, well, comedians are just
jealous.
They're just mean babies.
Did you get some of that? Like when you started getting really popular,
there's a few comedians out there who hate me. They just hate me,
and for no reason other than you're successful.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Or maybe they just don't like me, you know.
But you kind of understand it in a way, right?
I totally get it, And if I'm irritating at all, or if somebody just doesn't get me, which is perfectly defensible,
right,
that it's just I'm not your thing, and then I'm doing great.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you. And I got to look at this fucking guy's face.
Yeah.
There's a tipping point, because as you get bigger, all you're doing is gathering more people that like you. It's all positive.
Right.
Now these people like me.
Right. It's like running for office.
That's all it is. Yeah. And at first, it's only people that like you know who you are and they think you're great.
Right.
But then you go over this point where you start being promoted.
Yes.
Because they want to go find more people because they've already found all the people that kind of automatically like you.
And then,
so now you're on buses and you're on billboards.
And some of your original fans hate you.
That's right.
Because you've sold out in
their
mind.
That's how they feel. And then new people are like, why do I have to look at this guy? I don't like this kind of thing. And I'm being forced.
You're being forced to be hated.
Yeah, there's people listening right now going, please don't fucking have that guy on again.
Right.
He's not my thing.
And you're like, hey, it's not my fault.
Yeah. But I'm just doing my job. But, so I get it.
Do you have comedians that do not like comedians that are known that just are not nice to you?
Yeah, there's guys out there who don't like me.
I'd love to know your rivalries. Who are your rivalries?
Oh, I don't have any rivalries like guys from the past that much. I don't know. I mean, I used to, you know, once in a while you have people that, and then you make amends with them at some point.
Yeah,
I mean,
you try.
Yeah, you try to. You go, hey,
are there any at your level that actually don't like you?
Geez, I don't know. I don't think
so. We have to look into this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we all... there's not that many comedians.
That's true. Clear something up for me.
Yeah.
I got to go to another story you told. Although I'm still fascinated by the Jimmy Fallon one.
Yeah.
I think that's unbelievable because I know if I was in a hiring position, I'd be the same way.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, this guy's got too good a life.
Really? Yeah. You think he would do that?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe not at this point, but I'm sure there was a point in my life I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know? But because even my wife will be like, oh, Jimmy Fallon's so cute. That's when I go, yeah, but, you know, come on.
But when you were...
I get upset. And I'm like, oh, I'm married to her and I'm upset.
But, like, when you were, like, the guy at a radio station who could hire, would you not hire... a good-looking DJ?
No, I hired a bunch of good-looking. I guess. I don't know.
But you want to give the leg up to somebody who might have, who's not clear to everybody else he's going to be good.
Right. I'd rather give it to that guy.
Right.
If I have a choice between equal talents.
If it's up to you, you go, get this guy. Nobody sees this guy's good yet.
I mean, no offense to the guys who work here. Look at the guys I hire. There's no beauties working here. You know what I'm saying? I was surprised to read Bill Cosby is the guy who inspired you to follow your dream.
That's right.
Is your dream drugging?
Yeah, what are you doing when nobody's watching?
Yeah, what is your dream?
Yeah, man, that's so
it is weird, isn't it? It is so
fucked up.
You don't want to believe it, right?
No, I didn't for a long time, and there is some weird formula there to ask yourself about. It's like, how many does it take?
It's like how many licks
to get to the center of the Tootsie Roll.
By the way,
you know, nah, he did not. Come on. Well, but I don't know. Hey, look, who knows? I mean, I don't know. I was not. Okay. All right, that's getting a little much.
There's only three women left.
You're like, holy fuck.
There's only three women left that haven't had a story.
Every woman on the planet Earth.
Yeah, I know. At some point, you got to believe it. But, you know, I do want to congratulate him. Last 2 weeks, not one woman has come forward.
It's pretty amazing. It's like a weather report now. Like, it's like a dew point thing or humidity.
It's like the season is over. Hurricane season is over.
It's funny to me. I admire you so much as a comedian, and yet Bill Cosby, forget the scandal.
Yeah.
I just never found him that funny. I never got him.
I loved him when I was a kid.
Did you?
I loved him, and I still, you know, I saw him in Montreal a few years ago do a concert, and I was blown away. It was one of the maybe the best live stand-up show I've ever seen.
This was just a few years ago.
Why is it so great? Because he's so conversational and so
it's not a jokey guy. Yeah, I just love his. He's got like a musical way of like this rhythm and the way he tells stories and lays them out. It's just really hits for me.
He seems fearless.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I listened to his albums when I was a kid, so it was like a listening thing.
Right.
You know, I listen, and he has a huge catalog of albums, and I listened to all of them.
Have you ever met him?
I never met him.
Wow.
Never met Bill. And I wanted to. I went to see him. When I saw him in Montreal, me and my friend Vernon, we watched him from the back of the room, and then we ran to, but his plane was already in the air by the time I was staying.
And he doesn't mentor men.
Blown by a dead woman or whatever.
Yeah. He doesn't mentor men, from what I understand.
No, he doesn't.
I'd have a drink with you, but I'm not going to waste my drinks on you.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing, because now it's like, what do you say about him now? His comedy is what it was still in it. He was still the influence that he was, but it's erased now.
Yeah.
Like, if there's ever any montages of American television, we're all going to pretend he didn't do these things anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's painful. Can you still enjoy his comedy, you think?
It's hard to. Yeah. I gotta be honest with you. It's hard to. And I don't know how to feel about all of it. It's a really complicated thing. I think everybody had some point where they went, okay, fuck, I can't do this now.
It taints everything.
Now, for me, it was, I saw an interview with a woman who was a writer. She was a comedy writer.
Uh-huh.
And I identify with that. She was a normal-looking, average-looking comedy writer who got caught up in this thing. And watching her, because I got her, because to me, she's like somebody, I'm like her.
Right.
And also, I've been like a kind of half-homely, normal guy amongst stars.
Right.
That's what being a comedy writer is. And you write, you know, right? For Cedric was this huge star, you know, Conan, Chris.
Yeah.
And then, so when I saw her tell her story, I'm like, oh, fuck, he did all of it. Now I know he did all of it, because I believe her so much.
Right.
Know? And after that, yeah, it's really hard to...
Yeah, that was the icing on the cake when you heard that.
We haven't wondered about who are the people coming to see him. You know, what are they thinking?
You should do the
people
garden.
Come to see him now.
Yeah.
You should do the garden with him just to see who shows up.
Well, I tried to hire him once. I did a show in Chicago at the Chicago Theater, is this beautiful theater in Chicago, and they asked me to do it as part of a comedy festival, and right. I had just been there. So they said, well, it could be you and friends. And they gave me, like, they said, we'll give you $100,000, and you go hire any comedians you want, and you pay them.
Right.
So the usual formula is you get as cheap a guy as you can get.
Right.
So you can keep the most money and have them not embarrass you.
Right.
And I just was supposed to host, but then I went the other way and thought, what if the show was amazing? What if I spent all $100,000?
Right.
On other people.
Right.
So I offered Bill 50 grand to do 10 minutes on the show.
Oh, wow.
We offered to fly him there in a private jet. And, you know, the whole thing was going to cost like 75 grand of the money.
Uh-huh. And he turned you down.
At first they said that he was going to maybe do it, but then they said no. So he turned it down. I got Stephen Wright. And it ended up being how he made friends with Stephen Wright.
Yeah, Stephen Wright.
He was great.
He's one of the producers on Louis.
That's right. That's how it started, because then we did that show together. I never had really known Steve.
What does he do on the show? Does he write material for the show?
He's a consulting producer is what his title is, because he comes when I'm writing.
He's a genius.
He's such a comedic.
He's so fucking brilliant.
Yes, he is.
You don't see him around anymore doing anything.
Well, he's on tour all the time.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's one of those guys, to me, that was the future that I wanted. Guys like him and Howie Mandel, who I used to open for.
Yeah.
The guys who just, they got their pocket... They got their whatever. He can play an 1,100-seat theater in any city in America. He's got his markets that he goes to.
Yeah. Howie, you mean.
And Steve. Steven plays really nice theaters all over the country. And everybody, they come out to see him every year.
Because he's so brilliant.
Because he's a great
guy. And he still writes new material and
that's
the whole
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilarious guy.
And is he a married guy?
No. Very sensitive guy, you know.
Right.
So everything hits him really hard. And, he's funny, and he's got a funny way of looking at things. He's a romantic guy. He is, you know, he's had girlfriends on and off that I've known.
So do you write with him? And when
I'm writing, I have people that sit and they sit on my couch while I write, and then I get to talk out loud, ask them ideas, they bounce stuff off of them, try to make him laugh. Like it's like I got this legend from when I was a kid.
So then you made him a producer.
Made him a producer, and he comes to the set. And he watches every take, and I talk to him after every take.
Oh, wow.
And ask him how it went. Because I'm directing myself, so I can't really tell how it's going.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So he gives you that feedback.
That's right.
Stephen Wright.
That's right.
That's a smart move on your part.
He's also a bright guy. It's like having, you remember Joe Torre had Don Zimmer for a while as his bench coach?
Yeah.
It's like having this great comic.
That's so smart.
And he won an Oscar years ago for a short film he made. He's a filmmaker. He's got a filmmaker in mind.
Yeah, you were talking about, what was it? You were nominated for 9 Emmys one time.
That's
and
right.
You didn't win one?
I didn't win one.
And you
so
confessed.
I lost 9 Emmys in one night.
And you confessed that you know, you would think, oh, Louis C.K. doesn't give a shit about it.
That hurt real bad.
But you figure you get one fucking...
I don't care who you are. When they go and open the envelope, you're like, oh, my goodness. You get excited. No matter who you are. So when you don't get it, you go, ah, fuck.
I saw you do the most brilliant bit. I think it's in your season opener of the Louis C.K. show. You're doing stand-up at the front, and you're doing a chunk of material about... what the hell was it that you're doing? You're doing a stand-up piece, and it was about Mars, like or like people visiting from other planets.
Oh, yeah.
That, to me, was, I think, one of your best pieces.
Oh,
is that an old
man.
Piece of material?
I just thought of it one night and did it.
It's fucking genius.
Oh, thanks.
What the thought was that if other people come to visit us from other planets...
Well, that if we find another planet of people, because that's what it would be.
Yeah.
That if there's, if we find life, intelligent
somewhere
life,
else.
It's going to be a whole planet.
Right.
Of another species. That's not good news.
That's right.
There's no way that's good news. Like,
yeah.
When you think about how hard it is to keep the balance of this planet... Fucking ISIS and Africa and fucking China. I mean, it's like, it's a nightmare.
Could you imagine what's going on the other
planet? A whole other planet.
Of aggravation.
Yeah, and then there's no way that they're exactly in sync with us.
Right.
You know?
Like you were saying, our narcissistic view is that other planet exists for us to discover.
Right, that they're like, hi, guys, we're aliens.
Right.
You're people. We're just aliens. We're just weird creatures from somewhere else.
Right.
We're part of your experience.
Yeah.
But to them, they are a whole fucking other people. And they're like, well, can we
we're aliens.
We're of course, we're going to be aliens to them. And also, if we're a little behind them, we're slaves, like, the next day.
That's right.
Where we're going to be their South America or whatever.
Right,
just be kicked clean. They're going to come here and get whatever the fuck they want, you know.
Yeah, our planet becomes some backward nation.
Yeah, and they come here and take all the oranges. We have no more oranges.
And they're a little slow.
Yeah, or then
we're going to be...
We got to take care of a whole planet full of fucking losers.
Yeah, and I like... Yeah, like, now we have a welfare planet.
Either we go take care of them or we ignore them. We just, they're boy, poor fuckers. And we just watch them die.
Well, I'm laying this.
There's no even, just the sweet spot alien thing.
Yeah.
Where they're awesome. They're cool. They're kind of laid back. They have a drug that we like that's good for you and everything's cool.
I was laying in bed watching you do that on your show.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the season opener. But I'm sitting there going, oh man, this is very true. This is like, you know, this is a revelation that Louis is laying out here. This is not comedy. This is way beyond. This is Stephen Hawking.
They should be talking about this in university.
But you got me thinking. I was like, you're so right. We think these aliens are here for like an experience for us.
Yeah.
Like they're aquarium, you know, like they're an aquarium and
right.
We're watching them.
No, it's going to be interactive.
They're having lives too.
That's right.
Any way you touch it, it's a disaster.
Right. Even if they're just a little cranky, it's like a new kind of fucked up person with three heads to do.
Speaking of ISIS, so what happened? You went on a tirade about ISIS on your Twitter account, and then you closed your whole Twitter account?
Well, those two...
I was proud of you. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, those two things weren't really related.
I thought, like, you got nervous about terrorism.
Oh, no.
Maybe
no.
ISIS started writing back or something.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. What happened there?
The last... It was, those were my last tweets about ISIS.
You're like... Fuck ISIS. Good night, everybody.
Going out with a bang.
Yeah, right. I wrote these things about, I saw something about how ISIS, steals women and whatever this stuff. It just made me mad, and I wrote, fuck, ISIS is a bunch of assholes.
You mean you bothered to point out that ISIS are bad people?
Yeah, exactly. Which is
anybody was questioning that.
No one asked me to say that.
Well, ISIS is on Twitter, though. You know, they read that shit.
They
sure
love
they do.
It.
They
yeah.
But that. I looked at it, I looked at my Twitter feed, and I realized this is the worst things I've ever said. These are the worst things...
And
either because they were stupid or, like the ISIS thing, useless, like not helping anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Some things that were inaccurate, offensive without any redeeming value.
Right.
Or
it's
boring.
All the material you wouldn't use in your act. It's all your throwaway shit.
And it reached the largest audience that
yes.
I reach.
Yes.
By a long shot. My show is watched by like a million or some people like that. My stand-up, in a whole tour, I'll reach maybe 350,000 people after, like, an exhausting 6 months.
Yeah.
I write a thing, and it's in 4 million people's pockets.
Yeah.
Instantly, and it's the worst I have to offer.
And
it's a nightmare. It's the perfect storm of nightmare.
And if you're sarcastic, that sarcasm doesn't come
through. Nobody gets it.
No, it's just one line.
No.
That's it.
I mean, everything, going all the way back to when I started Twitter, and I wrote these things about Sarah Palin, and it turned into this nightmare that followed me for years.
But you're right, Louis, because, like, I used to, you know, when I would sit there and write something on Twitter, I'd say, wait a second. I got something really interesting to say. I got to save that for my radio show. That's where I get paid.
Yeah, you never put it on Twitter.
You don't put it on Twitter. So it's always something I go, this is something I would never, ever use.
Yeah.
And you realize you're putting your worst foot forward on a medium that gets the most people.
The most people more instantly and more accessibly and more nakedly. So I cut Twitter. I just said, I'm not doing this anymore. I just took it down.
Clear something up for me. I got to know this.
Yeah.
So I watched that video online. You were with Mayor de Blasio.
Yeah.
You're standing next to him. I couldn't tell if this was set up with Mayor de Blasio or you just kind of went fucking crazy. De Blasio came out. He was making a speech about his... He had a plan for What was his plan? Something about mass transit or?
It was zero pedestrian deaths.
Oh, yeah. Zero pedestrian deaths.
Yeah.
And you're standing next to him and you go, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
People are stupid.
Yeah.
It's never, ever going to work.
Yeah.
He was in on the joke, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I thought, wow, this is edgy.
Well, they wouldn't have let me just stand next to the mayor.
Well, I thought you were hired to say a few words, and then you just kind of erupted. I know
that was the idea. He asked me to help him with this thing. And
Vision Zero, it's called.
That's right. Yeah, but the whole thing was just his. It's his, you know, the what do you call it, the correspondence dinner with the president?
Oh, okay.
Where everybody makes fun of the president, and then he gets to talk and make jokes.
Oh, I see.
So that was his bit.
Oh, I see.
And so he asked me, can you do something with me for when I do my bit? And right. I suggested this thing where, you know, you're a nice, polite guy, so you just let me do the nasty thing. So he would say a very politic and polite thing, and then I would do. And we kind of stole it from Key and Peele when they do the president and his angry black man.
Oh, okay, good.
A little bit. I even called Key and Peele.
Right, and you said, hey.
Can we take this? And they said, go ahead and do it.
Well, that was so nice. I mean, you didn't steal it from them. You were like, hey, I'm inspired by this, and can I do it?
Yeah, and I mentioned it at the event. This is stolen from Key and Peele.
It was a great bit. But did you shit your pants?
Yeah, I did.
What the fuck happened?
Well, they had this young guy taking me to go around the back.
Sometimes there's just the right guest on Stern. He's not a bad interviewer, you know? When he's talking about himself a little less, and, you know, when the person is interesting and kind of can dominate a conversation a little better than he can, it's... Sometimes it works out, I guess. All right! Have a good weekend, everybody. Yeah, and have a good weekend. See ya.